See, we need to talk to our children about our faith. We need to instill in them. God wants our hearts. He wants our attention 24/7. Or is it 7/24s? No, it's 24/7. Here's the question. Are we really willing to give it to Him? Y'all are. I am. I believe that with all my own heart. In verse 12 in the scripture today, it says, the third and final point that the scripture teaches us today. A wise man's journey will create change. Verse 12 says, "Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country in another way." Isn't it interesting that after they had worshiped Jesus, that they couldn't go back the same way that they had come? Getting in the presence of Jesus changes you. You're never the same again. Getting into the Holy of Holies and being awestruck by the power and might. Oh, saints of God, if we could understand the might that we work in, that we walk in, the faith that we travel in, if we could ever bring that to bear and we could speak to the mountains of adversity, be thou removed, and know in our heart that it is done. I think the greatest witness of last year, I believe it was last year, was Earl's father. Kathy and Earl prayed for that man faithfully for eons. They even got frustrated about it. Here's what we need to know in faith. The Word of God does not return void. It doesn't matter whether we see it or not. It is done because God's Word has been released and God's Word brings life. They were lucky enough to be able to see the results, partially at his funeral and later testified by others that their faithful prayer saw the results. My mother got to see the results. She prayed for me for years, and y'all know the story. She never understood why I wasn't a Baptist until I finally told her it was her fault. And she said, "What do you mean?" I go, "Well, Mom, when I was so far out there that I didn't know there was there, did you continually pray for me?" "Yes, I did." "Did you once tell God you wanted me to be a Southern Baptist?" She said, "No." I said, "There you go. You got what you asked for. God's got a sense of humor." She quit bringing that up. But what I'm saying is that these men were changed by their encounter with the Christ child. As we today are changed with our encounter by the living God. Now, most of you in here have experienced at one time, either in person or by sight, people going out in the Spirit. And that's happened to me a few times. And my one prayer when I'm coming back into consciousness is, "God, don't let me get up here the same as what put me down here. Whatever put me down here, you identified it, now you take it. Don't let me be that same person." I might not even known what happened. But here's the deal. God wants us to move in our journey from faith to faith, from understanding to understanding, from strength to strength. We don't need to stay as babies on talcum or on milk, on powder. But we can eat the meat of the Word if we decide in our heart that we're going to. And it doesn't matter. God's not going to meet our timetable. As these people learned, as the wise men learned, it wasn't a day trip for them. And for us, saints of God, it's a lifetime. But here's the deal. God will work with us in our lifetime. And there are some of you who have family members that I might be on the way out, that they check in with the living God, and when we get to heaven, they're going to be there. Because God didn't hold anything past their checking in, or anything before their checking in. Once you have met God, we'll never be the same again. An encounter with the living God changes us and changes our outlook on life. In Isaiah, when he stepped in the presence of God, he proclaimed in Isaiah 6:5, "Woe to me, for I am undone, because I am a man with unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Saul, on his way to persecute Christians, encountered the living God in the midst of people who just heard thunder. After going into the desert for a season, changed his name to Paul and became not one that persecutes, but one that rescues. Embrace the change that comes to you this year. I hear this a lot in counseling. "Well, I can't do this. I'm afraid of this." God says, "Come to me, all you are weak, and receive my grace." See, that Satan would want us to say, if we said the things on our heart, that we would be persecuted and thrown out of the church. No, we're all sinners, saved by grace. We've all thought the thoughts, walked the walk, whatever. This is a year that God wants us to press in as never before. This is Epiphany. There were men of faith, yes. They were wise men, devoted, yes. And they were changed forever because of a child. All right, I'm about to throw you a fastball. Listen. Saints of God, we at Church of Messiah, have been on a journey for some years. We're no different than the wise men. When we started, we had no idea of how long it would take, of what changes in us would be required, or what sacrifices we might have to endure. Hello, wise men and women, wise people, to be politically correct. Now, I realize that there are times when I've not been really forthcoming with information. But when the information that the Rector's Council was getting was so fluid, it was like water, we never have had a real clear picture ourselves at times. Over the last couple of years in this journey, your Rector's Council has prayed, and we've entertained building options and construction options and site development cost and overall cost realities. And your Rector's Council has prayed. We've been involved in conversations with financing building costs with lending institutions. At a time when small church loans are not really what banks want to do. But we've prayed. And today, all I can tell you is that we believe that this year, 2013, is a banner breakthrough year in our journey. At the same time, we have also, within ourselves, have made major improvements in our children's ministry, in our youth ministry, up to 15. Father Scott, pray for him. He and Liz are telling me their house is getting to be too small. What a neat thing to have to suffer with. We've also began this year multi-church homes, community centers, community-centered living. Here's what I think I know for us this year. The land is ours. Cut construction costs for the first phase of a multi-purpose building, not the building that we've shown you in the drawings, a scaled-down model, is going to run us about $500,000. The bank will loan us $225,000, and we have about $70,000 in reserve. Sometime this first quarter, we're going to begin a capital building campaign. It's up to us. It's kind of interesting, Father Lon and I, and Father Lon has been instrumental in all of this. We've looked at numbers and we've looked at numbers, and we thought we could only afford debt-wise of $225,000. That's what the bank offered us. And it's not in writing yet. And those numbers can change tomorrow. But I know this. Our journey is nearing an end. And I'm saying this to you in the form of the wise men, because their journey also came to an end. They went back home. We're going to create a new home. They were never the same. We'll never be the same. I got something that was shared with me this week that just blessed my socks off. A pastor of another church told one of our members. Church of Messiah is a healthy place. And she looked at, huh? Church of Messiah. Their people are growing, maturing. And then he blew me out of the water because he said, if God was to lead us to close this church down, that's where I would go. A reputation is beginning out there. So much different than one we had 10 years ago. And it's because of you. Has nothing to do with me or the rector's council. No, it's you. It's your witness. It's your faith. And so if your neighbors ask you these questions, here are your responses. Are you going on a journey? We're in it. When are you going to start the building? We don't know for sure. How long will it take? Well, we're not sure of that either. But one thing we do know. God is leading us, and we are going to follow Him. And as we go on this journey with Him, He will receive all of the glory. You're going to be pressed this year. When we start a building fund, you're going to be pressed this year not to divert tithe into that. But I believe, and there's this sense within the rector's council that we've never hit until the end of last year in our prayer and in our supplication. I'll be honest, God probably had to deal with me a whole lot before we could move out. So I'll take the blame. But I also know this, God's been dealing with y'all. And here's the good news. He's not finished with any of us. I was so proud when Kathy put the piece together early today that said the dancers should intercede. See, it doesn't always take someone with a hard collar. It takes a man or woman of faith to believe with you. If you get in a place this year where your faith is lagging, look around at someone that has faith abundance and grab onto their belt loops. There's something I don't have faith enough for, I go to someone that I know has faith abundant. And if I can't believe, I can believe that he can believe. And if he believes, I believe God will answer. And I backdoor the situation until I get enough strength in my own legs to stand. Oh, guys, this year is going to be a phenomenal year. This year is going to be a year of growth for us personally, for us corporately, and more important than anything, for the kingdom of God. I invite you in all that you do to honor God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please stand to your feet and join with me. I believe it's going to be up on